Welcome to EconoDay's Economist Roundtable. It is our weekly conversations that revolve around what has recently happened in the world and what will occur going forward. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. Also participating are Jeremy Hawkins, our man in London, who covers Europe and the UK, and Mark Pender, who covers the US. Jeremy, why don't you start us off today?
Okay, thanks, Anne. Well, I suppose the starting point really is just to highlight the fact that last week provided another reminder that there are occasions when it's a case of what central banks say rather than they do, which are capable of fashioning how the financial markets are going to trade. That was clearly reflected in developments surrounding the ECB last Thursday, and before that from the Bank of Canada on the Wednesday. Just looking at the ECB first, it was an interesting meeting last Thursday. Okay, there are no change in interest rates. I don't think that really came as a surprise to anyone. But Mario Draghi, the head of the central bank, was certainly extremely aggressive in terms of apparently trying to send out a message to the financial markets that was a perhaps better than even chance now that we could see some form of additional easing taking place when we get to the next meeting on the 10th of March. Now, whether that's going to come in the shape of another cut perhaps in the deposit rate or some additional move on the quantitative easing, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it really does highlight the fact that the European Central Bank has become increasingly concerned about the way the European economy is evolving. Growth is still too slow. Financial indicators aren't moving as quickly in the right direction as they would like. And of course, inflation is still hopelessly below target. Now, there remains to be seen really what difference even another cut in interest rates would do. But I think really what the monetary authority is trying to achieve here is, well, certainly to try and maintain as low a longer end of the yield curve as possible. The last thing they want to see is the rally in the bond market being given back. But more importantly, perhaps in some ways now, I think they're looking more and more towards the exchange rate. They use a monetary conditions index out there, which essentially attempts to just encapsulate overall monetary conditions in terms of the exchange rate and interest rates. It's got a 6-to-1 ratio, which simply means that a 1 percentage point cut in interest rates would be the same as a 6% reduction in the level of the euro. Now, if you can't do much with interest rates, then it kind of makes sense to think that they're going to go along the exchange rate move. And I think we're going to see increasingly dovish comments coming out from the ECB with a view to at least trying to talk down the euro over the course of coming weeks and months. In terms of the numbers, well, there's nothing really new there in terms of a changing of a scenario. The flash January PMIs were soft. The key composite output index at an 11-month low. The price of output for services and manufacturing combined, that fell for a fourth consecutive month. And indeed, this five-year swap that the ECB looks at in terms of financial markets indication of inflationary expectations, that's also back down now below the levels where it was when they actually launched quantitative easing back in March. So bottom line to all this is it really does seem to be the case that some form of additional quantitative easing is going to happen, and it will probably be happening once we get into March. Elsewhere, I mentioned the Bank of Canada. They proved to be, well, certainly a good deal less dovish than anticipated in their statement last Wednesday. No change in interest rates when markets were anticipating a reasonable chance of an interest rate cut there. That actually allowed the currency to decouple, which makes a change from what's going on in the oil market. Nonetheless, bottom line there, I think, is that unless we're going to see this rally in oil prices we've seen over the last few days being sustained, there's still a lot of downside pressure over there. Lastly, in terms of my coverage with regards to the UK, again, we've had the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney indicating that until such times we get faster wage growth, it's unlikely we'll see UK interest rates going up. The pound, although it rallied a little bit on the back of some stronger than expected labour market figures, within that, the earnings side were again very soft and indeed soft and anticipated. There's growing talk also that we could see this European referendum being held possibly as early as June. So that's going to keep nervousness amongst international investors there as well. And in terms of the upcoming numbers, we'll see a flash estimate of fourth quarter GDP on Thursday. And that's really just expected to confirm that the UK economy still doing okay, but in terms of hikes in interest rates, that appears to be lost some way down the road. That's it from my side.
Thanks, Jeremy. Have you ever wondered about diminishing returns of additional central bank stimulus other than for the stock markets?
Regularly. And I think there's a lot of people actually sitting around the ECB table and indeed many other central bank tables who are really towing the same sort of line. And that's why I think you really have to think about, you know, if they were to come out and do additional quantitative easing or they were to cut interest rates again. And clearly for the ECB, I mean, their benchmark refi rate is just 5 basis points at the moment. You know, what difference is it going to make? And I think it's getting to the stage now, it's got more to do with trying to send a message to financial markets and indeed the public that they are concerned about what's going on and they're prepared to keep throwing money at it as long as it takes. So I mean, it's got more to do with the confidence side of it really than anything else now.
I quite agree with you. Mark, how yes. about talking about the U.S.?
Well, I think that the Fed has a different position. I think the Fed has to, even against a dovish backdrop, and we have a statement today where they have to address dovish issues, global financial instability, lack of inflation. They still have to, I think, sound like they're going to continue on with their 4 rate hikes as forecast this year. And the market seems to be pricing this right out. You're seeing some people say that there's only one rate hike priced in for this year. And I'm reading other things that now that there's forecasts of a reversal in just a couple of years. So it's a touchy area for the Fed. We have GDP out on Friday, and that's going to look pretty weak. The economy day consensus is only 0.9 plus 0.9. And that's probably going to reflect weak consumer spending. The shopping season didn't prove that strong. But we had housing data today, and the housing data were very strong. And home price appreciation is really at 6%. It doesn't sound like much, but it's as good as it's much higher than wages. We have average hourly earnings are only up in about the 2.5% range. So it's a source of household wealth, and it's a it's an increasing plus that will hopefully offset. The manufacturing sector, which is getting hurt very badly by not only the strong dollar, but also by weak foreign demand. And it's interesting, Jeremy, when you're talking about the central bank actually engineering a currency price, the Fed doesn't do that. That's strictly off grounds. It's almost an invisible discussion when dealing with the dollar. That's considered a policy issue for the administration under the Treasury. So
I appreciate, and I think, to be honest, having said, I think the ECB would definitely like to see a weaker euro. Domestic demand in the eurozone is nothing like as strong as you've got your side in the States. So if they're going to get growing over here, somehow they've got to get activity going, and they've got to tap into overseas demand.
They won't
come out and explicitly say we want a weaker euro, but I'd be very surprised if it's not something they'd really like to see.
Yeah, well, I guess the Fed, in the mirror image, would like to see a less strength in the dollar because exports are hurting right now. Of course, but the other side of strength in the dollar is it attracts U.S. financial instruments, which will keep rates low, maybe perhaps lower than the Federal Reserve wants. We're seeing mortgage rates now here are below about 4% or just about 4%. And it's triggering a big rise so far this year in mortgage application data, both for refinancing and for home purchases. And the housing sector was almost kind of invisible, even though it grew pretty well in 2015. It never really made the headlines. And Janet Yellen had consistently played down its positive effect on the economy. But right now, with things looking so soft and the Fed having to not look dovish, I think that's probably the where they have to be a little bit careful, where they're going to be careful. And so, that's not going to be easy.
So Mark, what do you think, we're saying about how important is what central banks say now. So what do you think will be the key elements to look for in terms of the FOMC statement today?
Well, I think that they have to address China. They have to address financial stability. They swept that under the rug in December. And they have to address what you were just saying, commenting on inflation. This is a global deflationary environment. And their targets are not moving up right now. And they were supposed to get easy comparisons, and that was supposed to help, and it may. But it's not going to be a great deal. So they have to say those things while at the same time try to keep up expectations, maybe not for a March hike anymore, but that would be a actually a policy setback for them, because that's kind of the general scheme, what the expectations were for four hikes beginning in March. If they slide that back to April, they might lose the momentum. It's going to be a very interesting path right now, but the market doesn't seem to be taking it very seriously, and they just interest rates are coming down, and so the Fed is going to be kind of a bit hung out on the ledge given what they're, yeah.
I have a couple of questions about you.
Okay.
About the Fed. I have a couple of questions about the Fed.
Go ahead.
One is that you can't overlook the changing composition of the voting members of the FOMC.
Yes.
And the second is that the lack of a press conference today is going over very easily, simply because they're going to hear from Chair Janet Yellen in 2 weeks at her annual congressional testimony, semi-annual.
Right, and we don't have any FOMC forecasts today either. So it's going to be a very quiet, just a single statement, and they're going to have to say everything in the statement without any of the nuances. But you know, it's interesting. We're getting a roll in of four regional presidents at the beginning of the year, and it was supposed to be a really hawkish role with two notable hawks, Loretta Mester of Cleveland and Esther George of Kansas City, coming in, and Mester has continued to sound hawkish. But then we had James Bullard of St. Louis, who was very well known as a hawk, but he came out the other week and was saying he's concerned about inflation and reaching target, which sounded very, very dovish. And then Eric Rosengren of Boston, who's also coming in, made similar comments. So I don't think we're going to get that big hawkish turn, at least judging by the latest Fed speak that we had been expecting. And it was interesting, the votes last year, the rate hike was unanimous, of course, with Lacker at the time from Richmond before dissenting and wanting an earlier rate hike. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of vote. Are we going to get a unanimous vote? Is Yellen going to be able to get everybody on the same page as she did so successfully in December? I guess we'll just have to wait.
I think we should move on to another major central bank that's meeting this week and will announce policy, and that's the Bank of Japan. They will announce their decision around midnight Thursday, U.S. Eastern Time. And for some time now, analysts have been saying that the BOJ will have to ease more. If anybody who has practiced QE, it is the Bank of Japan. However, inflation still remains stuck around zero, and many forecasters are saying that fourth quarter GDP will be negative, although this is partially due to the fallout from unseasonably warm temperatures. The data won't be available until mid-February, around the same time as EC Eurozone growth data will be available. Since Japan increased its sales tax on April 1st, 2014, the economy has experienced 4 of 6 negative quarters when measured year over year, but 3 on a quarterly basis. And the third quarter of 15 was initially estimated as a decline, but was later revised to positive. The BOJ faces strong headwinds. Global financial markets have been severely shaken since the start of 2016, and the Fed has begun interest rate normalization while the emerging economies and resource-producing nations continue to struggle with structural excesses. And to confound the BOJ even more, the yen is appreciating. I don't think personally that they're going to do anything this week, but then again, they could surprise. The more likely time for them to move is at the beginning of the fiscal year, which is April 1st.
Well, how successful has all this easing been? I mean,
well, that's precisely why I asked the question earlier about this diminishing returns of stimulus. To me, it seems like they're pushing against a string.
I think one of the problems of this is it's interesting listening to some of Draghi's comments over the course of the last several days, when quite clearly there's one very unhappy central banker around at the moment who's been extremely cheesed off with some of the comments coming out of analysts to the effect that the ECB should have done more. And the central banks themselves maintain that if you run the econometric models, then it will show that inflation would typically have been perhaps, 1.5% or so than less than it has been, purely as a result of quantitative easing or whatever they've been doing. But I think the problem is that even if it has been working, at the end of the day, it simply hasn't been working well enough. And I think one of the reasons why we got so much volatility in the financial markets now is that investors are getting more and more concerned that they basically use most of their ammunition. It seems, as Anne was saying, diminishing returns, they've done most of what they can. What else can they do? And it was interesting, again, going back to Mr. Draghi, that there seems to be more and more emphasis coming out of the ECB now to put the onus on the policymakers from the fiscal side, the government members, to perhaps start doing something more from fiscal reflation.